Good morning. And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. We're going to take a closer look at the Sermon on the Mount. And I was talking with Frank Bartlett last week, and it's amazing the stuff when you use the lectionary, which is assigned reading, they skip over all the hard parts. Okay? It's amazing how challenging it is when you go through the Sermon on the Mount verse by verse. So we continue with verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. You notice Jesus doesn't say, the Scriptures say. Because the Scriptures say, love your neighbors yourself. It doesn't say anything about hating your enemies. But what the Pharisees had done is they added to God's Word about, they figured since you're supposed to love your enemies and or love your neighbor, then it follows that you should hate your enemies. And whenever we add things to Scripture, we get in trouble, right? And that's what they were doing, the religious professionals, okay? Bob Utley writes, you shall love your neighbor is from Leviticus 19:18. Jesus seems to see this as a crucial text. How different is the new kingdom ethic from the fallen world model of self? War for me at any cost. What's in it for me? Knowing God changes everything. Knowing God and living in a relationship with Jesus Christ changes everything. When we live with Jesus, we refuse to hate anyone. Spurgeon writes, ours it is to persist in loving, even if men persist in hate. We are to render blessing for cursing, prayers for persecutions. Even in the cases of cruel enemies, we are to do good to them and pray for them. We are no longer enemies to any, but friends to all. We do not merely cease to hate and then abide in a cold neutrality, but we love where hatred seemed inevitable. We bless where our old nature bids us curse, and we are active in doing good to those who deserve to receive evil from us. Excuse me. Where this is practically carried out, men wonder, respect, and admire the followers of Jesus. And if you look at our culture, does our culture forgive our enemies? No. Do you see the chance we have to be salt and light in the world? If each and every one of us here today go out and love our enemies, that little bit can make a difference. Amen? Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The best thing we can do when someone hates us is to pray for them. It may not change the person's attitude towards us, but it changes us and makes us a more loving follower of Jesus. I shared, it might have been at a council meeting or a Bible study several months ago. Believe it or not, I go to a gym, but anyway... I was at the gym one day, and there was this guy I know, and I've seen him off and on there, and I always say hi to him. And well, one day, I asked him if he was a vet, and he said, yeah, because he was wearing a shirt or something. And I said, well, thank you for your service, because I always thank vets for their service. I always do. And I thank police officers for their service, too, and firemen. But anyway, then the guy started talking politics and foreign policy and all this other stuff, and he started to get into a tirade, and I said, well, we don't have to agree on everything, but we agree on lift and weight. Was that good enough? Oh, no. So here, yeah, I'm just trying to lift weights, you know, and the guy starts screaming at me, and he was about like where Robert is, and I'm here, and I'm sitting down like you are, getting ready to do a set, and he's screaming at me. Not enough weight for me to be more weight. Okay, but anyway. Then he starts talking about Christianity. And he starts ranting and raving about that. And I said, hey, Jesus is for all people, you know. But was that good enough? No. So finally, one of his friends came and got him out of my face. And I knew the guy's name, so I put him on my prayer list. And I've been praying for him for about a month or so. And I still pray for him every day to this day. Because the guy's a vet and he has some PTSD. And That's what was coming out. But anyway, about a month later, he came up to me and he apologized. And I said, no problem. And I appreciate you apologizing. And I said, we believe in the same Lord. And that was it. So we were reconciled. I haven't seen him for quite some time now, but he had a knee replacement. That might have been part of the reason. But anyway, Jerry Owen says, if you hate someone or they hate you, pray for them every day. You will find it's impossible to hate someone that you are regularly praying for. Maybe that's what Jesus has in mind all along, turning enemies into friends. Two great results of loving your enemy and praying for him. One, the relationship will be restored and friendship ensues. Or two, they will continue to hate you, but your niceness to them will simply annoy them to death. You win either way, right? Verse 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Our lifestyle should reveal to others that we belong to Jesus Christ. The greatest compliment we can receive is if someone says, are you a Christian? It means our light is shining. We should imitate our Father in heaven, who provides all things for all people, both good and evil. His sun shines on everyone. Charles Spurgeon writes, according as you have received, so will his love suggest to you to render. Can any holiness be too precise in return for the infinite love which has been bestowed upon you from before the foundation of the world? Can any service be too hard to repay the suffering which your Savior bore for your redemption? Can any self-denial be too severe to prove that the Holy Spirit in you has subdued your flesh and overcome your corruption? I say the argument appeals to your love. I will not utter it in legal tones, lest you think you hear the whip of the law behind me. But even the Master himself, I think, would put it to you thus. Inasmuch as I have loved you thus, and have redeemed you with such a price, and have begotten you unto myself by the power of my Spirit, what manner of people ought you to be in all holy conversation? We also must do good to the evil, or we shall have a narrow sphere. Our hearts will grow contracted, and our sonship towards the good God will be rendered doubtful. His praise will ever be on our lips, right? That's the only way we can respond, right? In response to Jesus' great love, we are to love and pray for all people, even our enemies. Once again, Jesus raises the bar, right? When we accept Jesus as Lord, he wants all of us. Too many people are afraid of such a commitment, so they settle for religion rather than a relationship with the living God. Well, I go to church on Sunday. Maybe once a month, maybe Christmas and Easter. Is that living in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Tim Hansel, in his book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty, writes, some insights of what most people want from God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb and not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. If we would be totally honest, the idea of transformation really scares us. This is because we know that such a radical change would be quite uncomfortable. We realize that with transformation comes a major overhaul of our lives and priorities. This is what is so challenging about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, I want all of you. I don't want just part of you. I want all of you. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Spurgeon says, love for love is mankind, but love for hate is Christ-like. Shall we not desire to act up to our high calling? Jesus turns everything upside down, okay, on the Pharisees and on us. It is clear from the Sermon on the Mount that we can't do these things on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Spirit in us, He works through us to love our enemies, to do good to them, and to pray for them. By this the world will know we are Jesus' followers and that He is real and alive. Jerry Owen writes, we are the only Jesus that lost people will ever see in this life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We are the ambassadors of Christ to the world. Christ is in us, the peace of Christ. If you are living a selfish life or at odds with your neighbor, the world will not see the Lord because they won't see Him in you. There was a little boy who was doing a presentation for Sunday school, and his line was, I am the light of the world. And it came to that point, and he couldn't remember his line. So naturally, his grandmother was sitting in the front row, and she said, I am the light of the world. And the little boy lit up, and he said, my grandma is the light of the world. And grandmas are the light of the world. Amen? But aren't we like that little kid where we don't want to be the light of the world? We'll let somebody else be the light of the world. Maybe the pastor. You know, I don't have to be like Pastor Perry or Pastor Robin or Pastor Robert. I don't have to be like Cindy or Donna Exe. I can just kind of cope with my $3 worth of God. I don't have to go overboard. They should go overboard, okay? But I don't have to go overboard, right? Jesus turns that upside down in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Brothers and sisters, do not be confused. Grandmas are not the only light to the world. We are the light to the world. Amen? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Wow, we've talked about raising the bar, but I mean, Jesus really raises the bar with this one. So can we be perfect as God the Father is perfect? No. But we can strive towards it. And remember, we aren't alone. We have the Holy Spirit of Jesus living in us, so all things are possible for us. Philippians, Paul writes, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yesterday, I wasn't planning on it, but I had a one-on-one with a Latino inmate. And he was frightened because 10 years ago he was 31 and he had a business where he was making $1.3 million a year. He lost that. He lost his wife and his four kids because of cocaine. And he was living homeless on the streets before he was picked up. And what he was worried about is, he says, I know if I go back on the street, I'm going to start using again. So I told him this verse. I also told him that he has to get into a halfway house. Okay. Because his family wants nothing to do with him now. Pastor Robin deals with this all the time, but he's got to get into a halfway house. And it brings out the point that for a lot of us, we have to be desperate for God before we say, take my whole life. What's that? Rock bottom. And it's different for all of us. Well, the Maricopa County Jail brings a lot of people to Christ, I'll tell you that much. But the point is this. Why wait? Why wait? Because when we receive Jesus and He lives in us and we have that Holy Spirit, there's nothing like it on earth. There's nothing like it. It's better than crack cocaine. It's better than meth. It's better than heroin is better than any drug, and it's free. And it sets you free, right? It's free and it sets you free, okay? And it leads to a full life. Spurgeon writes, "Who shall set any limit to the power of that man in whom the Holy Spirit himself dwells? All believers must never dare to say, that habit we cannot give up. We can and must overturn all the idols in our heart. We may never say, the height of devotion I can never reach. Brothers and sisters, omnipotence girds us." That means Todopoderoso, God Almighty, okay? His power girds us. "God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are never to sit down and say, I must be a sinner up to such and such a point. I cannot get beyond that attainment. What says the Scripture? Be you perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We are to strain after this perfection, and towards this mark of our high calling we are to press. God who dwells in us is working in us daily to will and to do according to his own good pleasure, so that we can do what the dead sinner cannot do. We can do what sinners without the Spirit cannot do. And if we can, we must. Surely it is required of a man according to what he has. And where much is given, much will be required. Let us take care that we quench not the Spirit, that by our unbelief we restrain not his divine energies, but let us strive, God striving in us," that's the key, is God striving in us, "after the highest conceivable standards of holiness and of a separation from the world. O Spirit of God, help us that we may be sanctified by your grace, spirit, soul, and body. Amen." Well, one Sunday there was a little girl who went to Sunday school, and she came back and she was upset, and on the drive back home, her parents wanted to know what the problem was, and she said, "My Sunday school teacher said that God lives in me." And they said, "Yeah, that's true, honey." And she said, "But you guys told me that God is bigger than me." And they said, "Well, yes, he is bigger than you." And she said, "Well, if God lives on the inside of us and he is bigger than us, wouldn't we see him showing through on the outside of us?" And that's the lesson today, right? If God lives on the inside of us and he is bigger than us, won't we see him showing through on the outside of us? Brothers and sisters, we need to let our light shine. And we need the Holy Spirit in order to do that. So, we're going to do something a little different today, which we're used to here, okay? Those who are able to kneel, if you can't kneel, don't worry about it. We're going to kneel and pray for more of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us, from rising from the dead, and giving us new life. We thank you for taking our sins as far as us, far away from us as the east is from the west. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to live in us. We thank you for his presence in us now. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit in power now, Lord, upon all of us. We ask that you fill us. Grant us strength to love our enemies. Grant us strength to be light in the world, Lord. Grant us strength to do good to all people, to be kind and loving. Let us truly be lights in the darkness, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We love your presence, Holy Spirit, in us. We ask for more of you in our relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us and fill this place. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.